Welcome back to Amerisogyny. I'm your host, Hannah Blue. You're listening to episode 56, A Lady Officer and a Gentleman. I hope everyone who celebrates Easter had a good holiday. I know I did. I made a carrot cake and it was bomb. And if you don't know what that means, it was delicious. So, episode 56. The title of this week's episode is A Lady Officer and a Gentleman, because I was inspired by a country who popped up on our radar last week. It's the 15th foreign country to tune into Amerisogyny, Denmark. I purposely started transcribing my episodes since our goal is to connect with people around the world. I feel people should be able to follow what I'm saying in their own native language. Clearly, that's a good idea because more people around the globe are tuning in to me. I think that's awesome. And I think Denmark is pretty awesome too. Denmark is the second happiest country in the world, and with good reason. They care about their people. But first, let's get into their military service. For the first time in history, Denmark is going to start conscripting women for military service. Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen says, "We do not rearm because we want war. We are rearming because we want to avoid it." What does that mean? Everyone has their eye on Russia for coming for Ukraine. According to Defense Minister Poulsen, more robust conscription, including full gender equality, must contribute to solving defense challenges, national mobilization, and manning our armed forces. Beginning in 2026, Denmark will be the third nation in Europe, right behind Norway and Sweden, to require women to serve in their military. Conscription service will be extended from 4 to 11 months for both men and women. Now, Denmark is a supporter of Ukraine, and it seems like they're preparing themselves in case Russia comes for them. I think that's a good idea because Putin has no soul. And that's the lady officer part of our show. Now let's get into why the people in Denmark are so happy. Working over the clock is frowned upon. Most employees leave around 4 p.m., have time to pick up their kids, and start dinner. And get this. Every employee can take 5 weeks of paid vacation every year. Also, they're not allowed to work more than 48 hours a week. Unlike us, Denmark doesn't have a federally mandated minimum wage, but their trade unions make sure they're paid a reasonable rate. According to Check In Price, in 2020, the minimum wage was $16.60 per hour. An income tax of 8% provides for affordable health care, child care, and pays for their education. Think about it. No student loans. Now, child care is not free, but the state covers some cost, and the most the parents pay out of pocket is around 30%. Now, some people might say, yeah, they have all that, but their taxes are so high. That's the problem with the U.S., and don't get me wrong, I am a patriot. I do love my country, but I'm not afraid to point out its flaws. We have very greedy people in our political system. There are people who believe people should not have access to health care. People actually balked when President Biden said he wanted to start forgiving student loans. Our political system is based on corruption and greed, and that's why our country is a stark contrast to Denmark. Yes, corruption on both sides. And that's not something Denmark has to worry about. As far back as 2016, Denmark was rated as the least corrupt country in the world 5 years in a row. They pride themselves on having access to information, freedom of the press, and they demand that their public officials have integrity. Now, some might argue it's due to higher taxes, but hey, they're happy. Our next story is about a food fight on a whole other level. and it all went down on our next stop, Nigeria. A Nigerian woman hopped on social media and gave a review about some tomato puree. Little did she know, it would be one of the biggest mistakes she'd ever make. The puree is made by a company called Irisco, and its founder, Eric Umeofia, was enraged. The woman's name is Chioma Okoli. She's an entrepreneur. On September 17th, she went on Facebook, where she had 18,000 followers, and asked them to share their opinions about a tomato puree. According to Okoli, the puree was too sweet. And not only did she give a review, she posted a photo of an open can of Najiko tomato mix, and people started to comment. One of them was the founder's sister. She said, "Stop spoiling my brother's product. If you don't like it, use another brand, then bring it to social media or call the customer service." Okoli responded, "Help me advise your brother to stop killing people with his product. Yesterday was my first time of using, and it's pure sugar." 1 week later, she was arrested. According to the Nigeria police force, Okoli used her Facebook account with the intention of instigating people against Irisco Foods. And they claim they've unearthed compelling evidence against her. Okoli was charged with instigating Irisco Foods Limited, knowing the said information to be false under Section 24(1)(b) of Nigeria's Cybercrime Prohibition Act. If she's found guilty, she could face up to 3 years in jail or a fine of 7 million naira, which is around $5,000 in the U.S., or both. She was also charged with conspiring with two other people with the intention of instigating people against Irisco Foods Limited. And that's punishable under Section 27(1)(b) of the same act. This carries a 7-year sentence if she's convicted. And wait, there's more. Irisco is also suing Okoli in a separate civil case. Irisco stated it was defending its reputation after her comments resulted in several suppliers deciding to dissociate themselves from us. Irisco claims it has suffered the loss of multiple credit lines and is seeking 5 billion naira, which is more than $3 million in the U.S., in damages. A spokesman for Irisco Foods would not comment because the case is pending in court. What blows my mind, Okoli was arrested while she was in church. She's also pregnant with her fourth child. According to Okoli, "I was put in the cell around 6 p.m. on September 24th. There were no seats, so I stood all through till the next day. My legs were inside the water," and she claims the roof was leaking. "Sometimes I squatted to reduce the pressure on my legs. I was thinking about my children who were at home. I was talking to myself. I would think. I would pray. I was messed up." Now, although she agreed to make a public apology to Irisco, her lawyer says she agreed only because she was under duress and did not apologize after she was released. But Okoli is fighting back. Her lawyer filed a countersuit against Irisco and the police, stating her constitutional rights to personal liberty and freedom of movement were violated. The lawyer also argued that Okoli's arrest was a breach of her constitutional right to freedom of expression. A Nigerian legal and public affairs analyst told media, "There are limits to freedom of speech defense. No law guarantees absolute freedom. While we have our freedom of expression, there are limitations. You can't defame or malign someone." Now, while that's true, you have to prove it. Cybercrime is difficult to prove in court. You have to prove actual harm when the post was made. Irisco must prove that the Facebook post by Okoli affected its business as at the point it was made. not everyone agrees with Orisco. People have rallied around Akoli and started crowdfunding to help with her legal fees. According to Amnesty International Nigeria, harassment and intimidation of Chioma Akoli must end now. People online have called for a boycott of Orisco's products, and there have even been protests at Orisco's Lagos facility. But its founder, Eric Umeofia, is not backing down. He says he isn't dropping the lawsuit against Akoli, and he would rather die than allow someone to tarnish my image I worked 40 years to grow. That is one pissed off man. Well, I believe in freedom of expression. Now, if she did try to harm his business, then that's evil. But if she didn't, they're going to have to let her go. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. Now, another lady of color hopped on social media to spread love and positivity, as she always does. And people are giving her the love right back. She is Tabitha Brown. Let's go back to the U.S. and hear about this story. Tabitha Brown wants to bring back real bodies. And I'm all for it. These AI filters on Facebook are so creepy. I support real bodies over animated ones any day. Tabitha is cool because she's always posting things to lift your spirits and improve your mental health. She made a post on Instagram encouraging every woman to move your body for at least 30 minutes a day for 30 days. She also posted a photo that shows her stomach, and she received massive support from nearly 4,000 people. Almost all were women. They said how real her picture was and noted how women's bodies change after childbirth. They thank Brown for not editing her picture. Brown's tummy is not flat and it has stretch marks, with industries around the world promoting harmful beauty standards centered on flat stomachs and no stretch marks. It's ridiculous. Not every woman has the body of a supermodel. And guess what? Not every woman should. Someone posted, "Auntie Tab bringing real bodies back. I love to see it." Mm-hmm. And so do I. Another posted, "I'm in. Teared up seeing a real I had some kid's stomach like mine. Your intentional transparency is a blessing." And another posted, "You just gave me the biggest boost because I'm learning to love my stomach the way it looks." I don't have one bad thing to say about Tabitha Brown. She is always for love and positivity and support. Keep going, Mrs. Brown. Continue boosting the mental health of women. You are so needed. Now, I said I'd talk about a gentleman, but I found two for this episode, and one of them lives on our next stop, Colombia. The mayor of Medellin, Colombia, banned prostitution in some of the city's most famous neighborhoods for tourism. He banned it for 6 months, arguing it was necessary to prevent the sexual exploitation of children. Federico Gutierrez is the mayor of Medellin, and he says the ban will be enforced in Provenza and El Poblado. According to Gutierrez, criminal networks are taking minors to these districts and forcing them into sex work. He says, "We have to recover the control of this area. It is also very important for us to protect the community." Now, in Colombia, sex work is legal if it involves two consenting adults. But if it's a threat to public order, it can be banned. And what prompted this ban? An American man was found in a hotel room with two little girls, ages 12 and 13. A 36-year-old man trafficking 12 and 13-year-olds. Disgusting. He was held by police for 12 hours and left Colombia, fleeing to Florida. Gutierrez wants Colombian police to speed up the investigation, and so do I. He said, "It is sad to see how many people believe they can come to Medellin and do whatever they want." On that, I agree with him. Using dating apps has been discouraged, according to a security alert issued by the State Department. Criminals were using dating apps to lure visitors to hotels, restaurants, and bars, where they were drugged, kidnapped, or robbed. What's even worse, 8 Americans were killed in Medellin. Sex was designed to be a liberating and beautiful part of life, but there are some who twist it and make it so perverted. Shout out to the mayor of Medellin, Colombia, a damn good mayor and an outstanding gentleman. Let's talk about another gentleman on our last stop, Madrid, Spain. I have a lot of respect for Vinicius Jr. He's a soccer star for Madrid, and his native home is Brazil. He's a winger for the team, and he broke down in tears during a news briefing. And why, even though he's talented and popular, he has been the victim of very ugly racism in Spain. He's only 23 years old, and he says targeted, persistent racism has tested his commitment to the sport and left him feeling discouraged. However, he says he refuses to be intimidated or forced out of Spain. He's played in Spain since 2018, and even though it's hard being the victim of disgusting racism, he says he's going nowhere. According to Vinicius, the racial targeting has been relentless. He's been ignored by officials and belittled due to his skin color. Every day he lives with racism in Spain. According to Vinicius, I just want to play football, but it's hard to move forward. I feel less and less like playing. I know I talk a lot about women on this podcast, but I don't exclude talking about male mental health. I think it's absolutely heartbreaking and disgusting that this grown man was reduced to tears in front of a nation because some people just can't keep their racist, ugly comments to themselves. He's a brave man. He said, "It never crossed my mind because if I leave Spain, I give the racists exactly what they want." He also said, "I will stay, because that way the racists can continue to see my face more and more. I'm a bold player. I play for Real Madrid, and we win a lot of titles. And that doesn't sit well with a lot of people." What's been done to Vinicius? He's been called monkey by Atletico Madrid fans in September of 2022. And just last June, 4 men were fined for hanging a racist effigy of Vinicius. He posted the videos on social media and wrote, "When will it be enough? Racism is a crime. Not to punish, is to be an accomplice." Even the president of Spain's soccer federation had to make a statement. Luis Rubiales said, "We have a problem of behavior, of education, of racism. As long as there is one fan or one group of fans making insults based on someone's sexual orientation or skin color or belief, then we have a serious problem that stains an entire team, an entire fan base, and an entire country." And he's right. And it seems like Spain is finally doing something about it. Several people have been fined for making racist gestures towards Vinicius during games at Valencia and Sevilla. And one Valencia fan has been banned for life. And La Liga, the top professional football division in Spain, informed prosecutors of nearly a dozen racist incidents that targeted Vinicius. More recently, Real Madrid filed a complaint against a referee, Juan Martinez Manuera, for failing to report racist insults directed at Vinicius. And that's what needs to happen. American football is a big deal here in the U.S., but soccer is a big deal across the globe. No player, especially a good player, should be on the receiving end of racism. It's no surprise that Black people like vacationing in Spain, but deep-seated racism can be troubling for anyone on the receiving end of it. Tourists may not notice it, but Vinicius certainly has. and it's not fair.
Well, people, I've brought you stories about food, spreading positivity, and advocacy. And you know I love sitting here with you, but I'm out of time. If you learned anything from this episode, feel free to follow me. By now you know where. Podbean, Spotify, YouTube Music, Samsung, iHeartRadio, and more. For all of my listeners who use Google Podcasts in the past, you should be signed up with YouTube Music by now. If not, you can listen to us on all the sites I just mentioned. The weekend is coming up, and the weather in North Carolina has been beautiful. You already know what I want you to do. Be easy, take care of yourselves, have a good weekend, and as always, God.